Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Aquarist podcast. I'm your host, Randy Reed. And to get this episode kicked off, I want to give you all an update on the full list of downloads by country. Because to be honest, last time I didn't expand the full list, so I really only gave a partial account. In order by number of downloads, we have the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Sweden, Austria, Germany, South Korea, and a shout out to Sang Pil in Seoul, Portugal, Singapore, Bulgaria, and Thailand. So I am definitely impressed with the global reach so far, and will continue to keep everyone updated when a new country pops up on the download list. Now, moving on to wrap up the final installment of What's in Randy's Fish Room, I'll talk about the two 10-gallon tanks that are in the tank stand in for my 75-gallon in place of the 20-gallon sump that I was going to run. The equipment in these tanks is pretty simple: sponge filters, Fluval heaters, and a hanging Nycru LED light suspended above both. Other than having a hodgepodge of plants and a few snails in both, only one of the two tanks really has any inhabitants, but those inhabitants would be at least 40 Melitonea praecocks, aka dwarf rainbows. So how did they get there, you ask? Well, pretty easy really. I put a male-female pair in that tank with a couple of floating yarn breeding mops for about a week. I pulled the pair, put them back in the main tank, and then about 7 days later, I had my first fry. I've been feeding these fry golden pearls, which is a very fine powder food used to feed coral, in the 5 to 50 micron size. I picked this up from reading an article by Gary Lang, the rainbow fish expert. I'm just now starting to introduce these fry to Ocean Nutrition's Instant Baby Brine Shrimp, and so far these little guys are taking to the brine shrimp well. I hope these fry continue to do well so I can eventually add some to the main 75-gallon tank. The rest can be donated to my fish club auctions, or maybe I trade a few in for some store credit. Hopefully, you have all enjoyed hearing about my tanks, and now, on to the interview. Today's date is Monday, February 26th, 2018. Tonight, I am joined by the first international guest to the show, Brendan Flynn. Brendan is a passionate aquarist who shares his experiences in the hobby through YouTube on his channel, Flynn's Fish Forum, where he has over 2,000 followers. Brendan also traveled all the way from British Columbia, Canada, to the 2017 Aquatic Experience in Chicago. Not only does Brendan earn the title of the first international guest, but he will also win for being the youngest on the show as well, at 14 years old. Brendan, thank you very much for joining me tonight on the Aquarist Podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to be on this podcast. I'm really looking forward to doing this. And seems like a good, great show. I've listened to a few, so thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You are too kind, Brendan. I definitely appreciate it. So let's start with how you got into the hobby. So usually with my guests, I think the average age has been closer to probably, 40 years old, I want to say. And so you being 14 are going to be the closest to when you started in the hobby than all my other guests. So, what got you in? What got you in? And how old were you?
When I got into the hobby, I was 7 years old, and my dad was actually into the hobby when he was a kid. He decided to go out and get me a 10-gallon and just put some guppies in there, and he thought it would sort of be something, sort of a phase that I would go through. But really, what got me hooked was one morning I came downstairs to find baby guppies in the tank, and that was really the hook, because then I started a guppy colony, and I really couldn't just give those fish up.
Oh, awesome. So the guppies, I mean, was there like enough cover in that tank? Were you guys purposely planning on, well, at least your dad, did he know that you guys were going to have some guppy babies?
Nope, he didn't know at all. We just stuck some plastic plants in there, just kind of hope for the best, hope they would survive, and then never knew I would get this serious into the hobby.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. So what was your progression from that point? So you had your 10-gallon, you had a guppy fry explosion. What were the next steps that you took?
The next step that I took, I got a 5-gallon tank, and my dad actually got that for me. But I put some tiger barbs in there, and I know it was too small for the tiger barbs, but they did really well. Then after that, I got a 29-gallon for Christmas. I still have that tank. It's a live bear community tank. Then from there, it just sort of exploded. I got a bunch of tanks. Now I got 5 indoor tanks and 3 outdoor tanks. And from that point, I can't even keep track of when I was getting tanks and what fish I was getting.
Oh my goodness! So, could you take can you take a stab at like roughly how many gallons total you think of water you're managing?
Let's see. Got a 30-gallon, 30-gallon, 30-gallon. I'd say, including the outdoor ponds, maybe 200, 300 gallons.
Nice. So at 14 years old, managing, you know, 300 gallons of water and life, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility, and that's, yeah, that's pretty cool. So what kind of species are you, so are you focusing on live bears, or do you have a range of fish right now?
I've got a range of fish, but probably the most of my tanks are dedicated to live bears. That's just because I really enjoy their breeding and their colors. I'm not saying I don't like any other fish. I'm just really passionate about live bears.
Do you have a favorite live bearer in mind?
My Liberty Mollies. I just recently, unfortunately, lost them to a disease called columnaris. But I did really love that fish, and if I can get my hands on some more of them, I'll definitely get them.
Now, are those a fish that, are they up local where you are in Canada, or did you have to source them from across the border?
I actually got them from Corey McElroy when I went to visit his fish room. That's Aquarium Co-op, and they bred like crazy. They're not really in Vancouver. I'm not even sure if they're in Canada, but they're really awesome fish.
Oh, man, that would have been a great way to spread a really cool fish in a different part of, well, at least I guess the Pacific Northwest. You're a little farther north than I am here in Seattle. But, yeah, to really have that fish in your area would have been pretty cool. So as far as projects go, like, talk about your experience with ponds. Because this summer, or actually this spring, you know, I'm already starting to get the itch to want to do an outdoor pond. I have no idea what I want to do, but walk me through what you did for your ponds, or what you have going on, rather.
What I really just did in the summer, I set up a 40-gallon pond and a 30-gallon pond for platies and guppies. Then I just added in about 9 platies to the platy pond and 9 guppies to the guppy pond. And just all summer, really the only maintenance I did was feed them. Then I did a water change once a month. But by the end, I had about 50 fish in each, which is really amazing. And their colors really brighten up because of the natural setting and the sun.
Yeah, very cool. So what did you do with those fish then at the end of the summertime? Are they overwintering out there? Or?
I would bring them in just because the temperatures drop below freezing here. But most of them I sold that were big enough. Then I've got the nicer ones to breed indoors during the winter. Then I'll put them back out in the summer.
Oh, that is fantastic. Did you have a hard time offloading those, or was it fairly simple to find some buyers for those fish?
My fish store really liked their colors, so it was pretty easy finding a buyer.
Oh, fantastic. And did they ever give you any word back as far as, you know, or how quickly those left their store, and are they knocking on your door for more this summer?
They don't really give me, they don't really tell me when they sell, but I did go in a week after I sold them to the local fish store, and almost all of them were gone, which was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know from watching the Aquarium Co-op, Corey's, you know, Breeding for Profit series that, you know, you want to make sure you take care of your local fish store, and that if that owner is able to move the product, then that's great for you. Well, it's great for both people, I should say. So what else do you have going on right now in your fish room as far as projects go? What are you eyeing for, you know, in the short term and in the long term for your fish room?
My next biggest goal is probably to breed my tetras, which are my neon tetras and black neon tetras, and also shrimp. So I'm setting them up in a 24-gallon tank, and I'm going to plant it heavily with Vallisneria, and I'm going to have a little rock pile in the back for the shrimp to breed in. And what I'm going to do is put the shrimp in about a month or two before the tetras so they can get settled and start breeding. Then I'll add the tetras and see what happens from there.
So I'm completely unfamiliar with breeding tetras. So what kind of research have you done so far? And I guess what is your strategy, and how are you going to breed these guys?
So what I've really researched right now is that they need extremely soft water, so around 6 pH, 6.5 pH. And just heavily planted and some murky water like their natural habitat, which is the Amazon.
Oh, okay. So are you going to throw a lot of the Indian almond leaves in there, or alder cones or anything like that?
Yeah, lots of driftwood, lots of Indian almond leaves, and just heavily planted for them so they have a hard time seeing other fish and stuff.
Gotcha. And then out of the tap, is your water in BC, is it as soft as it is down here in Seattle, or do you guys have a little harder water than us?
It's pretty soft. It's actually neutral, I'd say, around 7.0, so I can usually balance it out to whatever I want it to be, so that's pretty good.
Wow, so at 14, you are, you know, talking about pH and balancing and doing all sorts of really cool things. So, yeah, I mean, you know, for those listening, I mean, you can definitely hear that you know, you do your homework and you know what you're talking about. So any other tips and tricks for breeding the tetras that you think are going to help you out?
Really just heavily planted is what I've read. That's kind of the main thing in the soft water.
Now, as far as heavily planted go in your tanks, do you do any CO2 injection, or what is your tip? What are your tips for success to grow in planted tanks?
Really, my most success is using fertilizer, especially Aquarium Co-op Easy Green. I haven't done any CO2 plants yet, just because it's a ton of money for the CO2 setup. But I am using pretty decent lights, like the Fluval Fresh and Plant 2.0, and I think that plays a big role in nice plant growth.
Yeah, actually, we both have the same light setup, so I have a Fluval 2.0 as well. I also use Easy Green. I haven't used anything else, but so far what I see, it's doing. It seems like it's doing really well, and just from all the reviews and you know your own user experience, is that it's a very good product. I do think I'm gonna try to take the plunge and go CO2. I've got some in my big main tank. I went with pool filter sand, and I know that isn't the best substrate, but between, you know, that, the Easy Green, and then giving that tank a shot in the arm with some CO2, I'm really excited about trying that and seeing if I can turn this tank into just a natural jungle looking setup. So I'm definitely excited about that.
Yeah, it's a great product.
So anything else future lined up for you as far as
in the long term? I'm supposed to have this done, or I'm trying to have this done by end of summer. I just want to rescape every single one of my tanks. I'm just getting tired of the current scape, so I just want to have a fun little project and start rescaping tanks.
Now, as far as aquascaping go, do you think, would you say that you have a certain style, or are your tanks, you know, each one is kind of different and you've just taken inspiration on a whim, or was there more strategic planning to all the tanks that you currently have aquascaped?
I'd say I just kind of go with what I'm feeling for that tank. So all my tanks are really different. I'm not an expert aquascaper. I don't really plan out aquascapes. I usually just have one piece of wood, then some rocks in there somewhere, and I try to make it look as natural as possible.
Do you see yourself reusing any of your existing plants and maybe combining them in different fashions, or are you just going to, you know, take those to your local fish club auction, sell those off, and then buy all new plants?
I usually just sell them and then use store credit or something to buy other plants.
Oh, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about your YouTube channel. So
yeah, for sure.
2,000 subscribers, which to me, I mean, that is, you know, kudos. That sounds like a lot of people that are, you know, definitely vested and interested in your channel. If I haven't already, which I should have, I'm definitely going to subscribe to you. I've watched already a handful of your videos. I really appreciated your vlog of the Chicago experience and the music overlay that you had. Yeah, I mean, I think you did a phenomenal job with that. And I've just kind of gone down the categories. And so you do, you know, you've done product reviews. I've seen you do like your top, you know, top X number of fish for this type of, you know, setup, top three fish for this. Top 10 fish for that. So I think that's really cool to give people your personal insight. Like you alluded to earlier, you know, you lost your Liberty Mollies, but you actually put out a post-mortem video on them. So you actually, let's talk a little bit about that. Not so much, you know, the unfortunate passing of your Mollies, but what was your, you know, what was your inspiration to actually, you know, talk about losing fish, which, you know, can be embarrassing for an aquarist, but you wanted to share that with people.
I just think, like, why not help as many people as you can from your experience? So if I know how to treat columnaris, why wouldn't I go share that with 300, 400 people? Why would I just keep that to myself?
Yeah.
That's sort of what I think.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the absolute right attitude to have. I think sometimes that, you know, pride can get the better of us in a lot of situations, and, you know, that could be something embarrassing. But the fact of the matter is that we've all lost fish for one reason or another. And, you know, to put out that video, and I had never heard of that before, but now I know what it is. Now I know what to look for. And I know that, you know, it appears to be like a fungal infection, right? But it's actually something different. And so you treat it with the wrong treatments, but then it's too late and then your fish die. And it was this other thing all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was really good that you put that out. I'm sorry for your loss of those fish. And I definitely hope you get more of those Liberty Mollies and can breed just, you know, a crazy colony of those and share those with people up in BC. You've also done, like I said, vlogs, you've done how-tos, and you've even done your own interviews as well. So
I have.
I guess my question is, what is your inspiration to go from being just a, you know, a fish-addicted kid to saying, all right, I need to get in the YouTube universe and start putting out videos?
Really, my main inspiration was Corey McElroy from Aquarium Co-op. I saw his videos and live streams, and I was just inspired to teach others and entertain others with my fish.
Yeah, and so far, I mean, how do you think it's going? Are you satisfied with the product that you're putting out?
I am. I'm pretty satisfied. I try to put out the top quality of stuff, and I try to really educate others. That's what I'm focusing on, more education than entertainment.
Yeah, I can tell you that I think your video editing is, you would blow me away. Like, if you and I had to go heads up in a video editing contest, I don't think I would stand a chance against you at all. So I would highly encourage everyone out there to check out your channel. And I think what's great about you as well is that your personality, I think what really comes through in your videos is that, you know, you're a hobbyist first and you're a YouTube personality second, in that it's not, you know, it's not so much about you. It's about the hobby and it's about sharing the information and just sharing your passion for keeping fish with other people. And I think that's really admirable. And, you know, I really appreciate that watching your videos where some other YouTubers, it's more about them than the hobby.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and so let's talk about your live stream. So you one of your videos was a live stream, and you've had international guests on your live stream, right?
I did, yes.
And was that just the one time, or have you had international guests on multiple occasions?
That was just the one time. I've interviewed guests from the U.S., so I guess that's international. But my most international guest was Danny from Danny's Aquariums, and he's from the Netherlands. So that was a really fun interview, and we talked about youth in the aquarium hobby.
What was that? Yeast in the aquarium hobby?
Youth in the aquarium hobby.
Oh, youth
so, like,
I'm sorry.
In the aquarium hobby.
I thought you said yeast, like you're going to do a worm culture or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. And so how was that, scheduling that with Danny? And I guess how did you guys get connected to do that live stream?
Me and Danny have been connected for a while. We just discovered each other's channels because we're both kids in the hobby. But, yeah, we've talked for a while, and we just decided to go ahead and do a live stream and teach others about what it's like to be a kid in the hobby.
And how was the scheduling between the time differences?
We figured out that he was 10 hours ahead of me, so we could kind of plan it. My morning was his night. It was sort of tough because he was going to bed when I was waking up, so there was sort of that awkward time in between. But we managed to work. If I got up around 6 or 7, then he had a bit of time to plan and do the live stream.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and it turned out pretty well. I was I wasn't able to watch the whole video, but I did watch the beginning portion, and it seemed like you guys had some really good back and forth and really good interactions on that live stream. So, again, anybody listening, if they want to go back and check that video out, it is on your YouTube channel. So what do you see happening with your YouTube channel? Like, what are your plans for that channel?
My plans are just to keep moving forward, of course, putting out the most higher level quality content, and I'm just really keep pushing it, trying to just improve and educate more.
Is there a certain type of video that you haven't put out yet or that you want to put more of out there?
I'm thinking more live streams and more store tours, because I've noticed my viewers really enjoy store tours, and I get the question a lot, like, what's a store local to me? I really want to go and cover as many local fish stores as I can to teach people sort of where their local fish store might be and why local fish stores are really good.
Yeah, so that leads me on kind of two different trains of thought. One would be, do you want to give a shout out to your local fish store here? And the second would be what the fish community is like up in BC. So did you want to give anybody a shout out?
I'd like to give a shout-out to a few local fish stores. My local fish stores are Aquariums West, which is in downtown Vancouver. Then we've got Rogers Aquatics, or Aquariums and Pets, who's up in North Surrey. And then we've got Paul's Aquariums, who's also up in North Surrey. Then, of course, this store isn't really local, but my favorite store out there is Aquarium Co-op, which is down in Edmonds, Washington.
Yeah, the Aquarium Co-op, it is a good one, and you know, I'm a little spoiled. I'm only about 30 minutes away from that store, so it is definitely a game changer, I would say, in the aquarium stores, at least what I'm used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. Yeah, and I've been up to Vancouver, BC for work, and the next time I go up there, I'll definitely have to check out your recommendations and just stop in there and see what they have, and you know, maybe buy some fish food from them or something like that, just to support your local fish stores. And so what would you say your community is like? Are you a part of Vancouver Aquarium Society or anything like that?
I'm not yet, but I am planning on joining. It's quite a small community, not many stores, but it is growing fast, I've noticed.
Yeah, it feels like the opposite down here, at least where I've lived before in Northern California. I went to look back just to see if they had a website or a Facebook page for some of the aquarium stores that I would go into, like in Sacramento in California. And I think half of them have closed. It seems like in the greater Seattle area, you know, Aquarium Co-op, at least in my area, is one of the few that are thriving. And it seems like a couple of them have recently shut down. So, you know, that to me, that's fairly concerning because, you know, it's a hobby that I love. And, you know, if there aren't more people getting into it and the people that are providing the goods to us, these store owners, if they're not able to make a good living and keep their stores open, you know, that's bad for all the hobbyists and, you know, we need to do something about that. So I guess on that note, you know, what can we do? So at 14 years old, what can we do to encourage more youth into the hobby? Like, how do we get more kids interested and excited about keeping fish? And maybe share some of your experiences if you've been able to convert any friends over.
That's a really tough question. I'd say just start educating people, because I think people are really afraid to get in there and lose fish and just get on that bumpy road to start. I know that most of my friends at school just go home and play video games for hours, but that doesn't interest me at all. I'm more into the nature side of things, and I think that's really tough for kids to get into.
Yeah, one of the things I'm really hoping is going to excite a lot more people that have never had a fish tank is kind of the nano tanks all of the beautiful aquascaping. And I say nano tanks, and I know that, you know, the smaller the body of the water, the old adage, you know, the less water you have in your tank, the more difficult it is to keep stable parameters. So, you know, beginners or newbies shouldn't, you know, we really shouldn't steer someone towards a very small tank just because of the size. But if there's any way to get them, you know, some of these 6-plus gallon, 10-gallon square rectangular tanks, and really, you know, show them the aquascaped tanks, show them all the plants where, you know, you don't need to inject CO2. But you know, get a nice good liquid fertilizer. Maybe it's Easy Green, maybe it's something else. Get a nice quality light Fluval 2.0 or something else that's going to have a high PAR output, and just really show them how beautiful some of these tanks can be. And they're not terribly hard to maintain. And then I think what's really cool is to show them the Neocaridinas and the Caridinas. So I've had a couple people that are shrimp experts, but I think when you start showing them how cool some of these smaller tanks can be and how beautiful they can be, I think there's a real opportunity there to get people excited. And I mean, I think watching shrimp all day and maybe not all day, but you can watch shrimp for a while, and they're goofy little things. They do funny stuff.
Yeah.
And then you throw in some mystery snails, and that's always good times.
I think something that's really getting people more into the hobby is the more and more technology. It's advancing every year, and tanks become more hands-off, so you can just sit back and watch, less maintenance.
Well, how awesome is the Fluval 3.0 now? Like, have you seen the review for that light yet?
It seems pretty good. I've watched reviews, I've seen reviews. They all seem pretty good. There's mixed reviews, but most are really good.
Well, the Wi-Fi controller on that thing, like, I wish I would have waited a few months to buy my Fluval 2.0 to get the Fluval 3.0 instead, because watching all the settings that you can have, and basically having a timer built into the light so you don't even have to program you know, a secondary timer to control your power like that. I mean, I think that's, you know, to your point, the technology piece and really enabling somebody to enjoy their tank more without having to invest as much time. And I'm not saying this should be a hobby where, you know, you just hit cruise control and it's, you know, the tank takes care of itself. There's definitely still going to be some work involved. But I think anywhere where we can shave time and make things easier for us, I think the better.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Brendan, what else do you have going on? Are you Aquatic Experience 2018? Are you what are your plans for that?
I'm hoping to go. I'm definitely hoping. We'll see the prices of flights because I'm trying to pay my ticket for this year. But I really enjoyed it in 2017. It was a ton of fun meeting everyone. I'm just putting faces to the people I met online.
Yeah,
really, so, it's a cool experience. For
yeah,
sure.
I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. So I've, I've talked to people that were shrimp competitors in the aquatic experience, and we definitely focused more on that aspect. But as somebody going, and that was your first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, first time.
So as somebody going for the first time, which if I go this year to New Jersey, I'll be going for the first time. I mean, mm-hmm. what are some of your impressions to the event, or what are things that I can expect when I go?
Just be prepared for all the people there. They're all really nice. It's fun to meet the community. All the tanks there are really cool. It's really inspirational. That's probably the word I'd put for it, is inspirational.
Did you have any certain inspirations that you drew from there that you're putting into practice now, or is that what's kind of driving you to want to re-aquascape your tank?
That's what's driving me to re-aquascape my tanks, because I saw all the aquascape tanks there. And then I'd say I came back with a lot of inspiration for YouTube, because before that I was sort of getting lazy on my channel, but then I saw all the other YouTube creators there, and they just really inspired me to keep it going and start putting more work into my channel.
Yeah, again, I mean, at 14 years old, you're really scratching the surface, I would say, with your potential. And I would say, you know, the older you get, obviously do good in school, go to college mm-hmm. if that's a route you want to go. But once you start having your own source of income and you can free your parents from, you know, having to, even though you're probably earning a good amount of money on your own, once you're able to really support your hobby and grow it, you know, it's going to be very exciting to see what kind of videos you can put out and what kind mm-hmm. of, crazy fish projects you get into. I certainly know that I'm going to stay tuned to you and see if I can draw some more inspiration. And I need to go back and watch your project videos on your pond and, you know, filtration, all the different kinds of things that you did.
So that
I can learn from it. Yeah, and then I guess I would say, let's stay connected. And if you think of mm-hmm. any way that you can convert your friends that are, you know, super into video games into mm-hmm. keeping fish, mm-hmm. and maybe not even, you know, they don't have to give up their video games, but just a little bit of time and, you know, get them a tank or two and get them hooked. You know, mm-hmm. reconnect with me, and I definitely want to share that with people. So
we can
save our society from the cell phone addiction and tablet addiction that we seem to have, unless they're mm-hmm. watching fish videos or listening to Aquarius podcast. In which case, then it's fine. All right, Brandon. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Hopefully in the future we can connect again. Maybe, mm-hmm. After Aquatic Experience 2018, if you get a chance to go out there, if I get a chance to go out there, maybe we'll reconnect and talk about our shared experiences and, have a conversation on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon. Well, thank you very much for being on the Aquarius podcast. I really appreciate it. You have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. Well, episode 5 is just about wrapped up. I will link Brendan's YouTube channel, Flynn's Fish Forum, in the show notes. Check him out and subscribe to his channel if you like what you see. If you have any stories of getting youth involved in fish keeping, please let me know and I can share your story in a future episode. You can contact me on any of the Aquarist Podcast social media accounts through @AquaristPodcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or just an old-fashioned email to aquaristpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your fish nerd friends. I truly appreciate it. Until next time.